A of our lives, we make countless decisions. From the moment that we wake until we fall asleep, what should I have for breakfast? Should I get my hair cut? Who do I need to reach out to today? What time do I need to leave in order to get to work or school or church or wherever it is you plan to go? We make lists to keep track of decisions that we will make. The grocery list, the rotating checklist of things you should or hope to accomplish that day. Which meetings or issues do you need to prioritize? And sometimes it may seem like our decisions are made by situations that happen to us, like the non-stop summer road work that causes us to change our usual direction, or what about disruptive weather? How often do we look at our weather apps on our phone to see if we will need to shift plans? Or how about a call from a friend or a family member with a problem or even a crisis? And suddenly, what was on our to-do list somehow seems less important. So yes, we make lists and decisions all the time, and many of which we haven't even stopped to think about. Instinct or habit, experience of some kind, maybe a growing wisdom, moving us along or causing us to pause. And yes, we have things like traffic lights and smoke detectors and tornado warnings, the beep of a car horn that will trigger decisions that we make. And these are good things, because otherwise we might become paralyzed by choices. And as we approach today, the process that we have been in together and the decision that you as a congregation will make, there is a wisdom that we must all lean into. Now, you just heard a portion of Paul's letter that was written to the church in Corinth. And this letter, though, has begun with Paul saying, I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you. Paul could be writing this to you and the place that you are in as a church. You have continued God's work and have been strengthened by an intentional and wise minister in Jerry Krupp, as well as others that have come to you, and by many of you who are on boards and committees, and you as individuals participating in and continuing the life of the church, and by the search committee and the process that we are now in. And I will note, Paul's purpose or argument that he is speaking toward in this letter, it will acknowledge that there are a variety of groups, involved people coming in from different angles or focus. And while he is speaking of division, that is not the case, I believe, here at First Congregational Church. But what Paul points to is pertinent. For we do gather today with varied points of view within our own particular hopes, beloved aspects of who you are as God's church here in this place. Treasured history, the palpable excitement of now, and an excited and abiding hope for what the future holds. So the point I find pertinent is in these varied thoughts and hopes that we have a way of coming together in and through discerning God's wisdom and spirit here. An author, Alan Roxborough, one of many I hope that we might engage in together, wrote, "What does it look like for us to go on a journey together in discerning what the Spirit is up to ahead of us?" Now, you may very well have had the opportunity to read the letter of introduction that I wrote to all of you that accompanied the letter from your council, which noted that what had been done by your search committee in announcing the meeting that will follow worship today. And some of us have had the opportunity to meet and speak together yesterday. And all these things, they give us some information, some knowledge about each other. And these are some of the means by which God works through us as individuals and as a church. And so I would like to take just a moment to again share with you how I believe the Spirit has been in work in me, leading toward today. As you may know, I currently do serve as the associate minister at our sister church, North Shore Congregational. And it has been a good and lively, deep and appreciated relationship in which we are continuing to grow. And yet, a repeated tug at my heart and spirit kept poking at me, leading me to reach out and begin a conversation with your search committee. And after several of these, I felt convinced that this is where God was leading me. And through the prophet Jeremiah that we heard earlier, we heard this beautiful promise from God. "For surely I know the plans that I have for you, to give you a future with hope." And it is our way of hope to believe and trust this. And it is often, though, our go-to to wish God would lay out the plans clearly in front of us, and even step by step. I mean, that would be really nice, too, wouldn't it? But this is how I think God works, through the breath and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And as a friend said to me, as Congregationalists, we are free to choose so many aspects of how we will be church together. But it is grounded in the idea that we are not free from God's authority or guidance. But we are free to follow where the Spirit leads. In Jeremiah, God's promise continues saying, "When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord." And it is my hope that we will do this together. And then I was struck by those words, "I will bring you back from the place from which I sent you in exile." Now, these words were originally heard by a people who had been uprooted from all they knew, exiled to Babylon for a period of time. And yet it was a time through which God was still working, encouraging the people to thrive where they are, and in the midst of whatever turmoil they were in. And I think the beauty of biblical history is not always found in how we replicate or repeat it, but in how we receive it and see what God is doing, how God is responding to the people. And now we hear the Jeremiah passage in our context. And we are not in exile. But again, these words, "I will bring you back," I think they do speak to us. And I'm not suggesting that we're in the same situation as those ancient Israelites. Although, for some, the early days of COVID may have seemed like that. But I believe there is something for us as well. As I reflected on God's promise, "I will bring you back," of course, for me, it wasn't from exile. For me, the years at North Shore have been rich with strong interconnections through the Wisconsin Congregational Association and the National Association as part of my work. But this sense of coming back or to home is absolutely present for Tom and I, my husband Tom and I. And as I expect you probably do know, but as a family, we first became Congregationalists here at First Church. And we grew and enjoyed being members until I went to work at North Shore. And we have not been exiled as a family and now returning to Wauwatosa, for this is where we live. Our children were raised here. My husband taught school in the Wauwatosa School District. The office for the stores that I managed were here at Mayfair Mall. And after that, the daycare that we ran was in our home here. So we know and we love Wauwatosa and Milwaukee with so many things growing and bubbling up, wonderful things, as well as concerns that draw us in, wanting to be here and take part. But I also think a sense of return or God's promise to bring you back for this church matters as well. And God's intention to restore your fortunes. So those for whom this was first spoken, they did indeed return from exile in Babylon, but it was to a life and a place that was changed, to a rebuilding of their home and place of worship. And what that might look like now for us, not in terms of wealth, but in the fullness of the life of the church, embedded in this community. So no, we are not those ancient people, but God's promise and plans for your welfare and future are always true. You have a deep and rich history here that is foundational to Wauwatosa, this being, as you probably know, the first church established here. You have a history of cooperation with other faith houses and the surrounding community, a history of serving others in various ways, including this building itself, by being available to other groups, and that continues. And I sense a spirit to perhaps restore and grow into this current life of this community. There are so many possibilities surrounding the plan God has to give you a future with hope. What forms that might take? What relationships might be built? This is so exciting. And as I wrote in the letter to all of you, I sense spirit here that is, I believe, growing. From conversations and prayer, I sense there is a desire to seek and become more of who God is calling you to be in this time. And I know that many may wonder, and you're not alone if you do, as it's a conversation in many churches, the question, how do we emerge from and into this changing culture, as well as the grief and the restrictions that we have felt these past years, especially? And also, what are the new opportunities forming within us? It's not hard at all to listen and hear how some look at the institution or the idea of church and don't know what that means, or for themselves, or what it means to the surrounding community. I believe we, as a people, are in a new era of God's work, and it is exciting to be a part of it, wherever you are. And again, as I wrote to you all, I believe I have been equipped to lead and minister with you as you look toward the ways God is already at work, by the way we might cherish and support what is currently giving vitality and life, in the variety of ways this happens, through the ways that we worship together, how we serve and study together, as well as how we meet others in our places of work or school or our neighborhoods, our everyday life. And I expect that we will be surprised to find new and interesting ways that God is already at work. We make decisions every day, throughout the day, some through instinct, some through the influence of others, some through experience and wisdom, and we do our best to follow God's leading. The portion of Paul's letter, which ended this morning, which says, "But we have the mind of Christ." This may seem a pretty audacious claim, and yet not really. When we remember when seeking to know God's will and receiving some kind of inspiration, it's a gift from God's Spirit. So making decisions can be hard. And the idea of having the mind of Christ does not mean that we walk around with a thought bubble above our heads filled with right thinking and good ideas that are just easily available to us. Because for today, it is a process of prayer and conversation and deep questions for us and each of you, either as you continue or now follow fully into that process of discerning where God is leading First Church and what that might look like for us. May this be known to us through God's Spirit. Amen.